And you look at an FA Cup title quarterfinals then, 40 years ago, it was absolutely huge. You know, you're two games away from playing at Wembley, and that was every player's dream, really. And it was a huge thing. That's why, you know, you had over 29,000 packed into Dilworth Street. The FA Cup now, has it lost that allure? Has it lost that kind of passion? I think it has in some way, yes. It's still a huge tournament, but it's kind of lost that magic. 40 years ago, yeah. I mean, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was a huge thing. It was a magical experience.
And the thing I love about it, actually, is the fact that this crazy game, what turns out to be a great day, I would imagine one of the great days of the 80s at Filbert Street, and then they go and lose to Spurs at Villa Park in the semi-final. It's an exercise in futility, which is sometimes beautiful as a football fan, isn't it? Because of course it is.
You're quite right. It's after the Lord Mayor's show, isn't it? I mean, I think in a kind of strange way, it was kind of Leicester's Cup final. Mm. They kind of peaked too early. You know, the 5-2, change of three goalkeepers, Shrewsbury had taken them to the absolute limit. It was a real blood and guts game. It really was. No quarter given. You know, I remember both managers, I think, went on record to say it was just such an incredible physical game. It was an amazing game. It was an incredible match. Gary Lineker said it was his all-time favourite match at Filbert Street. And then, as you rightly said, Leicester went to Villa Park. They lost 2-0 to a very talented Tottenham team. But apparently, you know, I actually went to that game as well, the semi-final. Leicester were awful. They really were. Just everything went wrong for them. Tommy Williams, he broke his leg. Ian Wilson scored a terrible own goal. It just all went wrong. So, yeah, it was a bad script. It's, as you said, it's strange how it works out, isn't it?
I love the idea that, because I know you're based in the Far East now, aren't you, that there's somebody with the Leicester City Shrewsbury Town programme in China.
That's right. It is kind of strange. You picked that up well as well, I must admit, Mark, yeah. On some days, I actually do go around with a Leicester City shirt on. I shouldn't really admit that, but it does get a few strange looks. I think most people here think it's an Everton shirt, and I think I'd certainly be a lot happier wearing a Leicester shirt right now than an Everton shirt.
But, absolutely.
It does get a few strange looks, but you know, I mean, Leicester, Shrewsbury, football is a fantastic game. It doesn't matter who you support. It's your club, it's your team, you know. And here in Asia, I have to say, they love football, but it's kind of on a wholly different thing. You know, they're terribly enthusiastic, but they are lacking on a lot of skill. This is the problem, and kind of always will be here. It's the structure, it's a cultural problem here. But they do love their football, yes.
Was it a way of connecting to home? Because sometimes we don't just connect to a place, you connect to a time, don't you, when you're living away and you want to feel like you're at home. When you're writing about characters, real and some not, in 1980s Leicester, whilst in, I imagine, a Chinese city, that's quite the place to go to.
it was kind of a strange one, I must admit, because actually, being here, it does kind of clear the head because it gives you space to think, you know, going back to the 80s and then going back to the 80s in Leicester in the East Midlands, what I didn't really appreciate was that the East Midlands was an absolute hotbed for football at that time. You had Forest, you had Derby County, then you had the West Midlands, you had Villa, you had Birmingham City were big hitters. Mm. Wolves, Coventry not too far away. They were always on TV. Villa were the huge club, and Derby, you know, and Forest, and people were different. It's all they talked about all week in the factories, in the shops, in the warehouses, everywhere. They talked about football, looking forward to the matches at the weekend. Everything was played on Saturday afternoons. It was a ritual. It was a tradition. It was absolutely massive. And it's kind of the irony is, you know, being here in China writing about it, people would think, how on earth did you manage to capture capture the actual era, like the essence of it. Actually, it's been easier for me here because I've taken a huge step back.
Yeah.
To think about it, it kind of clears the head. I haven't been kind of too immersed in it, and it's given me, yeah, some freedom. I mean, yes, I have to say, obviously, anyone who writes a book does their research, and yes, I've had to do a lot of research to know about it. I'll tell you what, Mark, I can. I'd like to mention, I mean, Shrewsbury Town have been absolutely fantastic with me.
Brilliant.
Helping me write this book. Mr. Caldwell and the historian and the press officer, and they couldn't have been more helpful. Despite the result of that game, they've been brilliant. So thank you to Shrewsbury Town.
Just finally, and I know it's a one-club city, but it's not a one-sport city, is it? You've got Leicester Tigers, you've got county cricket. But when the football club is going well, what does it mean to the place?
Oh, it totally changes the place. I mean, yes, Leicester has got Leicester Tigers and it has got the cricket, but anyone would say the number one game is football. And when Leicester City are doing well, the whole city comes alive, the county comes alive, people are buzzing, it gives everyone a lift, it makes people smile, it gives them an extra bounce, skipping their step. It lifts the mood. And if Leicester are having a bad run, the mood does dip. And no matter how the cricket or the rugby team's doing, it really doesn't matter. Football is the main thing. Football is the passion, and that's what lifts the place.